Are you tired of listening to German language all day long?
Don't you just want to get your news and topics presented in English, even though you live in Germany?
Then here's your solution.
Yeah! Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Tune in on Color Radio on 99.3 and 98.4. Every second and fourth Monday of the month.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
In this episode of Elephant in the Room, we are talking to two Russian anarchists, Tanya and Andrei, who are going to tell us a bit about the recent protest movement building up in Russia. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hi there.
For those of our listeners who haven't followed politics in Russia for some time, can you explain a little bit last year and what was happening in the country? Like, what were the main political events?
Okay, so I'm Andrei, and once again, so my main points are the ending of the trial, the network case. So a dozen of anarchists and anti-fascists being sentenced to prison terms from 5 to 18, I emphasize, years, just for reading anarchist books and for assumed plotting against the regime. So they were accused of preparing for acts of terrorism, although they claimed that nothing like that actually happened. They were tortured by electricity and all that stuff. And of course, you can easily find the details on the net. So for me, it was one of the most shocking things. So before that, anarchists in Russia have not been sentenced to such long prison terms with all the tortures and all these horrible things. Then the next important thing is the corona, of course, which disrupted the plans both of the authorities and the opposition. Then the next big thing is the attempted poisoning of Alexei Navalny. Once again, we haven't seen the authorities so openly trying to kill their political opponents for several years already. So it's something new. Then in the beginning of 2021, we can now see that it seems that in Russia, people are at least somewhat ready to get on the streets and to riot, although probably riot is too strong a term for that, but probably we can discuss it later when you will ask us about these particular riots in 2021.
Yeah, for me, it's also the network case, of course. I mean, the case was shocking for already some years when it started, but in general, I couldn't believe that there would be a decision of the court to give a maximum, like as much as the prosecutor asked for. So this was influencing me a lot. And of course, in general, as everybody think about 2020's coronavirus and the super mismanagement from my point of view of the government and very full hospitals and fucked up economy, and at the same time not so much of response and not so much of critics from many sides. And I mean, of course they were, but somehow people didn't felt how near it is and how many people are dying and how much people it's for how much people it's important and how dangerous the virus and so on. One of the other very important events, as I think, is the protests in Khabarovsk, which were about the mayor that was arrested, but at the same time, It's not only about the reason, but it's about the people are ready, and they show that they are ready. Several months in a row in thousands go out on the street and protest. And this is very amazing for Russia, or not really usual picture in this amount. Yeah, this is 2020 from my point of view.
You mentioned already the struggle with coronavirus or mismanagement of coronavirus. And actually, it's the virus itself gave possibility or pushed people to fight authoritarian regimes in different countries, for example, Belarus. How much dissatisfaction was building up on Putin's response to the virus in last year?
As usual, Putin is never, taking a responsibility for anything bad. He's just kind of stepping away, hide himself in some bunker or wherever, and not talking about bad things. So very often he's not really associated with mismanagement of whatever kind. And at the same time, Russia was doing kind of balance of saying how dangerous the virus, how not dangerous the virus, making a lot of contradictions and stuff like this, and always cheating with statistics, so people cannot really feel the problem, cannot really feel how, or don't know, or nobody knows how many dead people actually from corona are in Russia. And they were saying things like, yeah, like everybody working with corona as doctors and drivers and so on should get a lot of extra money. But in the end, and for many people, didn't work out. But you don't see it on TV or on official TV and the radios. So somehow it was careful, not really caring. And this worked out that people maybe didn't react so much or didn't criticize so much the corona politics, I would say.
Yes, I agree, Tanya. So Putin didn't make the mistake as Lukashenko. He didn't say he didn't say obviously crazy things like there is no corona at all, just drink vodka and everything will be all right or something like that. So he and his government were just saying very neutral things and doing very neutral things. So that's why the population wasn't much confused or angry about what the authorities did with the corona. So it didn't become a political factor, I would say.
Yeah. And they made Sputnik. Come on, they made.
Yes, and of course there was
the
this vaccine.
Vaccination. Yeah.
Yeah. So the authorities managed to actually get some propaganda effect from corona, even by pretending that they made this new vaccine. Although, of course, no one knows for sure whether it's efficient or not. But at least the authorities can claim that we are ahead of the world in being the first country to actually implement a vaccine. So.
Yeah, shortly to say, those who don't know about the vaccination, about Sputnik, how the first two tests look like this Pfizer vaccine. I don't know how many tens of thousands of people were participating in the first test. In the Sputnik one, were 22 people participating, just 22. And this is a bit crazy, but who cares?
Yes, and Russian authorities, as usual, as they're accustomed to, were manipulating with the statistics so that the official Russian statistics about the deaths and confirmed cases of coronavirus has almost nothing to do with the reality. So these numbers cannot be trusted at all, which means that the authorities didn't have to be afraid of people being shocked by the numbers. Of something like that, because they can easily manipulate these numbers. So yeah.
to sum it up, coronavirus is not an important factor of political life in today's Russia.
And Russian vodka cannot heal coronavirus as successful as Belarusian one, right?
Only kvass.
Okay, good to know.
Join us for Kiteline, a weekly radio program on Channel Zero Network that focuses on issues in the prison system. With over 50 episodes already released, you can hear informative and riveting stories about the impact of prisons on people both inside and outside of the prison walls and how they fight back.
Kiteline is intended as means of communication between people across prison walls. Our goal at Kiteline is to amplify the voices of those within the prison system while encouraging dialogue with those on the outside.
Hear us on the Channel Zero Network and visit our website for more information or previous episodes at kitelineradio.noblogs.org.
So, I think in August 2020, Putin and Putin's regime tried to poison Navalny and put some Novichok in his underpants. After that, he was transferred to Berlin, I believe, where he was treated and got better and everything went fine. And I think at that point, Putin was hoping that Navalny will stay in Berlin and will hang out with his new right-wing friends from whatever. But Navalny decided to come back. And he came back to Russia a couple of days ago, a week ago or something like that, and was immediately arrested, which provoked this wave of the protest, I believe. For me, what is interesting, what happened basically like a couple of days before the protests and on the day of protests on this Saturday, 23rd of January?
So the question is, what happened where?
In Russia, like what was happening, like prior mobilization, and at the day of the protests, who was going to the streets, who was calling to go to the streets, and so on.
Yeah, so, well, of course, the driving force behind the protests were people from Navalny's team. So it was obvious from the very beginning that, of course, they are going to call people to the streets in case Navalny is arrested. So it was kind of anticipated that. And that's what they did. And of course, they were right about that. But when they were calling for people to get to the streets, they also they mentioned not only Navalny but also other political prisoners, including including anarchists, for example Azat Miftakhov, a mathematician and an anarchist who was sentenced to 6 years in prison the same day actually that Navalny has returned to Russia. So yeah, at least people from Navalny team did mention him, and they actually called for these protests to be protests against to be the protests with the aim to release all those who are imprisoned because of their political views. But in general, of course, the spearhead of the protests were people from Navalny team, people from his local headquarters, which they have in many Russian regions. But I guess, I'm not guessing, I know for sure that the majority of the participants of the protests actually joined them, not only because of Navalny, but because of general disappointment with the authorities, with Putin, etc. And yeah, of course, lots of them were also enraged by this new Navalny investigation movie about Putin's palace on the Black Sea. Although, at least to me personally, it seems that there is nothing entirely new in this movie. So, I mean, all, I guess... Well, I guess I know that Putin not some monk who lives in poverty or something like that. Of course, he steals money. Of course, but many people were still quite enraged. So that was another source of participants for these protests. Maybe Tanya has something to add.
Yeah, just to also a bit go a bit in the past, the thing is that Navalny is now probably will be accused in violation of regime of the criminal case because he needed to come to register himself due to a very old criminal case to the police station. And everybody knew where he everybody knew he's in Germany and get some treatment. But one day before the end of his term on this criminal case, they just started this case. And this is already was kind of like, what is there? This is a clear attempt to keep them inside, to not to let Navalny come back. And he's just say no, I am back. And by this, he's kind of winning the situation and show that he has no fear. I don't know if everybody who saw the film of Navalny knew everything. Like, I think it's like a good summary of what have happened with Putin from 80s and then the 90s and all this. And just in 2 hours, you get a very good summary and, of course, impressive pictures of the palace. And it makes you angry, like if you're a supporter of Navalny anyway, that how could it happen that they try to kill a person showing such a picture? And, of course, beforehand. So, yeah, when Navalny was arrested, they directly published the film and called for these actions. And they also called for actions next weekend. We will see. I was talking with several friends from different spheres, and many of them said, yeah, nearly everybody, close friends of mine, were on the protest. I know that it's not people who are in some Navalny groups or something. They were just sick of it, of this richness pictures. And the thing is also that Navalny was always criticized of not doing a film about Putin. He was doing thousands of films about everybody around and their corruption. And this is finally, it's kind of a culmination of his politics, which everybody were expecting. So that's why it was so explosive, I would say.
Okay, so, and what happened at the day of the protest?
Oof. There were some numbers. I don't know. There were 3,695 minimum people arrested from 125 cities. So this is a very big geography from the arrests and protests started at the Far East, clear. And we're going the whole day. And it's the biggest amount of arrested people at some actions connected to this kind of protest, of this anti-corruption protest, and the whole kind of measuring or doing this counting by human rights defenders. And it showed also very, very big brutality. And it was a feeling that Russia is playing Belarus scenario the whole day. And it was very bloody, and a long list of what kind of violations were going on during the arrests and so on. So there were thousands of people, not like not super big how it could be, but in many cities where never before thousands of people were on the streets, they were on the streets. If we take into account like winter coronavirus and this kind of lockdown and so on, impressive pictures of people protesting in minus 50 and stuff like this, and this super brutal violence, which probably will lead to a bigger amount of participants, but we'll see at the next weekend.
Well, I guess my opinion will be a bit different. I'm not sure that police violence was that brutal, as you're saying. So, I mean, it was more or less usual to Russia. So if we compare what happened in Russia, they said, for example, what was in Belarus in August and later, things happening in Russia were much less brutal. So, of course, yeah, there were people who, hundreds or thousands of people were arrested and probably will be sent to administrative imprisonment for several days, 15 days maximum, or something like that. Some, like, I guess maybe a dozen of Several dozens of people were beaten, but considering that tens of thousands of people were participating in the rallies, that's not that big. I mean, it's not something. Of course, it can, it can't be forgiven, and it's still police brutality. But the sheer amount of that is certainly not to be compared with what happened in Belarus, for example, and in the Russian authorities kind of were more afraid of these protests than the protests actually deserved to. So we had quite similar street rallies in Russia like a year and a half ago in summer 2019. And then 3 years ago in 2019, there Navalny investigation about Dmitry Medvedev, who has been then a prime minister. So the number of people was a bit smaller, but not that much smaller. So I guess, you know, it's very inspiring that we see people meeting on the streets, even in a very inner small towns. That's good. That's I really like. But I guess the reason is that just that internet connection is now almost everywhere, and people are working even in faraway villages. To my opinion, the protests were important. They were something which should be analyzed and studied, but they were not kind of kind of revolutionary or something like that. And I can understand that they want to present them like this, but objectively saying, it's not something revolutionary.
Yeah, I think also that they it's just that police was overreacting for the amount of the people going on the protests. And in some places where you think, okay, all this was going peaceful to make this winter war and pictures or something, it was just too much. And that's why I think this is important to understand that, yes, it was not super big. And that's why I think that brutality of police was too much for the way people were protesting. But of course, nothing to compare with the Belarus. Anyway, I don't want to make a competition here.
Yeah, so like we know of, I don't know, of how many people in hospital after this Saturday, 2-3 across the whole Russia. So it's, yeah, it really was very peaceful. I actually expected that police brutality would be much larger. Some orders to actually not escalate the situation too much.
Тот, кто стреляет в рабочих, Глазго. Профсоюзники шагают по площади в сторону администрации. Полиция, полиция, полиция. А на улицах, отходящих от площади, шотландские солдаты с ружьями. Боевые патроны. Им могут приказать стрелять по толпе. А за шотландскими солдатами английские солдаты с ружьями. Боевые патроны. Если шотландские солдаты откажутся стрелять по толпе, английским солдатам дадут приказ стрелять в шотландских солдат. Но это же было давно. Это было в будущем.
After almost 6 months of protest in Belarus, in neighboring Belarus, the protests pop up in Russia. Do you think events in Belarus played any role in forming up the current situation, any kind of like an Arab Spring in Eastern Europe?
I think for some it was, of course, inspiring. And of course, some like people in Khabarovsk anyway were solidarizing Belarus. But I don't think that it played the biggest role. No.
Yeah, me neither. So yes, as you've said, Khabarovsk riots have been there before. Belarus. I don't think that it's even correct to say that the protests popped up in Russia. In fact, they've never stopped. From time to time, we see some street protests, mostly somehow related to Navalny team, simply because, of course, he is the most popular opposition politician in Russia. So it's, I don't think that it's much related to Belarus. But of course, some people are inspired by Belarus example. But at the same time, people in Russia, I guess, are somewhat disappointed with the fact that after all this half a year of Lukashenko is still the president, and seemingly nothing has changed, at least from the outside. If you look from the outside, it's still the same Belarus with the same president, with the same government.
Okay, you already mentioned the movie that Navalny made, and we were talking a little bit about him being arrested as a trigger for the whole protest movement. However, Navalny is not your average good liberal fighting against bad dictatorship. He's quite right-wing and in certain circles considered to be an extreme right. He joined several times Nazi demos called Russian March. I checked out one interview he gave recently to Echo Moskva, where he said he still believes in his political ideas from back then when he was joining the Russian March. And after victory, he promised there will be a bigger and really free Russian March, like a proper, not a marginal somewhere on the outskirts. Taking all that in account, are the people on the streets just Nazis who are, you know, want to go Sieg Heil around? Are there only because of Navalny? And can Western leftists and anarchists just abandon Russia and give up on it? Or people are actually there out of more complicated reasons, more complicated picture? And if so, can you give us a little bit more of understanding of that?
Yeah, of course, the second choice is true. So we certainly shouldn't look at Navalny and his team a gang of crazy Nazis. That's certainly far from being true. I would say that Navalny is just an extreme populist. So he will simply choose the kind of the political agenda which is the best for overthrowing the Putin's regime. So at some point in his career, he was sure that the rights, the Nazis, would be kind of the best allies for him in achieving this aim. But then, like many years ago, he left them and stopped attending these rallies, etc., etc. So I guess nowadays he's just your usual liberal bourgeois politician who would say things to those who watch his videos, and that's mostly just more or less liberal liberal stuff without anything extremely right-wing or something. Of course, he's certainly not a left-wing politician. He's certainly not a socialist, and of course not an anarchist. But nothing can be more wrong than just saying that Navalny and his followers are a bunch of Nazis. Of course not. And I guess, yeah. So he just that his sole aim, right, is to somehow dispel the current political regime in Russia, and then do something on top of it. And of course, it's difficult to kind of it's difficult for him and for his team right now to create this future of future Russia, and I don't even think that they have any clear image of this future Russia. So they certainly are not political philosophers or something. So they really are great tacticians, but probably not a very great strategy. But they're certainly very efficient politically. I mean. I guess that if there is any hope of overthrowing the authoritarian regime which is currently in rule in Russia, this hope is certainly will be somehow connected to Navalny and his team and his followers.
Mm.
And they're certainly not Nazis.
I think that many politologists, they were also saying that he's getting more and more left. I would say he's getting less and less concrete, and that he is just riding the horse of fighting corruption and not really making statements of about illegal immigration or whatever stuff which he was doing before. And that's why there is an illusion that he got a bit more left, but it's just that he stop to speak about some things to unite all who are disagreeing against Putin. That's why he's so careful about it. And I know, like, in some of his offices in the regions, they are open gay people, and there is no problem with it, and things like this. So it's just a strategy to not to go so much into the really little marginalized group, but really to make a bright politic. And I think that's why for open Nazis and so on, it's not anymore so friendly for them. Or maybe they don't take him anymore as also supporter. I don't know. But the protest didn't look right-wing Nazi much anyway.
Mm-hmm. And
I would even say there is nothing Nazi in these protests at all. So I think it's important to say, because sometimes some stubborn Western left wing people say something like that all those who protest against Putin are just right wing Nazis, etc. But nothing can be more far away from the truth. In fact, Nazis in today's Russian political landscape are so marginal that you can't even see them. I mean, they're really not political actors in any way.
Okay, so figure out with Navalny, but apart from him, I've heard there are some other groups or people trying to organize around the protest, trying to participate in the protest. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Like, who are, apart from those Navalny fans, participating in those protests?
Andrei, do you know?
do you have someone in particular in mind, or?
I think, for me, I have no idea, actually, specifically about any groups apart from the anarchists, right? But I also heard that at some point in the recent history of Russia, somewhere, I don't know which year, I think I lost it in the whole oppositional struggle, Communist Party of Russia became oppositional. What the fuck is going on there? Like, was... And if any, I mean, if any leftists or liberal groups, I mean, knowing that Russia does have a certain oppositional, let's say, swamp or a scene which was struggling with Putin for quite some time. Are those liberals or leftists participating in the protests, or they believe that Putin is the great leader and should be followed?
Yeah, well, let's first get away with the so-called Communist Party of the Russian Federation, which is just a bunch of old fans of Stalin and Putin. So yeah, this party has nothing to do neither with communism or with protests or with anything. It's just a bunch of Putin's puppets who sit in the parliament and nothing except receiving money from Putin. That's it. So they certainly can't be any opposition, or they can't participate in meaningful protests at all. As for other groups, well, of course, anarchists participated. If we are talking about the protests which took place in January 23rd on Saturday, anarchists participated in with anarchist slogans and banners with the demands to free political prisoners, including anarchists, and things like we don't need no gods, no masters, no president. Other liberal groups, of course, are also joining because they have even more in common with Navalny, so why shouldn't they join? But I don't remember seeing kind of any pronounced names of some organizations or groups. So the protests is the protests were really kind of non-partisan, I would say. They people didn't promote any particular party or group. I don't know. Maybe Tanya noticed something like that.
As I know, there were also many who participated first time, and. Mm-hmm. I also didn't see like presence of any political parties or something like this, and there were of course present people, like, because it has such an anti-repressive character, then there were of course people doing anti-repression work and different solidarity groups with different political repressed and in general, there were some people who showed their faces, like those we know, I don't know, some actors or bloggers and stuff like this. But as some big groups, no. And it's also because it maybe was so fast, because it was 23rd and they announced the protest at 19th. So there was no really big organization around. It was quite spontaneous.
And the important thing is also, and I guess that's important to emphasize for the listeners from the Western countries, from Europe or the States, that in Russia there is indeed such a thing as that the authorities can prohibit you to have a rally, can ban your rally, right? So you have formally, legally, you need to have a sanction from the local authorities for your rally or for your demo. And of course, nobody asked for permission for these particular protests in January 23rd, which means that if your group, your party, or your team has officially kind of announced or called for people to participate in these protests, this means that you are under threat of legal punishment for calling to an unsanctioned rally or something like that. So that's another reason why kind of officially almost no party or group has joined the protests. But of course, the real people, the physical persons, of course, have been there on the streets.
Because it's much higher than the responsibility and the fine if you are acting as an organization. And it's not really true that there were no people who were trying to apply. In the regions, they were, but it was just not possible. And the Moscow government just in the very beginning said, we will not legalize any of the actions, not even try.
What is the current situation with the anarchist movement towards this protest? Is there any kind of debates going on how to participate or not to participate? Is there any criticism towards the protests happening inside of the movement? And in general, you mentioned that some people participated. Is it kind of like a common agreement that we should actually participate, or it's more like a certain groups agree, certain groups disagree?
I didn't see a big discussion yet. No, I think that mostly by now groups decide themselves, and there was no, the big discussion was not there. I think that there were some analysis how the protests were going and that the strategies were maybe changing and that people were fighting back the police and stuff like this. But there is no big central committee of the anarchists in Russia. We decide participate or not. And there are some groups in the regions who say we go anyway because it's a big actions and we need to be present. So usually that strategy of where people are, we try to put the alternative agenda.
Yeah, so the anarchist movement in today's Russia is just a set of loosely connected affinity networks. And at least from what I can see and from my discussions with people, it seems like at least 90% of the anarchist groups in Russia indeed tend to agree that we should participate in these protests, of course. Some people maybe said something like, well, probably we might ignore them, but we are not sure. So I haven't actually seen any prominent figures in anarchist movement who would say that we shouldn't participate in this movement. Although this is the case, for example, for the left-wing movement, so within the hardcore Marxist, etc., there were some groups who actually publicly stated that this is a liberal protest and we will not join it by any way. So, we will not play as liberals Muppets or something like that, but I haven't heard anything like that from the anarchists, and I'm glad that it is like that.
The spirit of Lenin banned them from joining the protest. Or they went to consult him to mausoleum. Last but not the least, what is eventually the future from your perspective of the protest? Is it like the one-time thing? I've heard there will be already, like, there is already a planned another part of it on 31st of January. How does it look right now in general, in the media, also among the people? Do people tend to organize right now more? And were there any kind of positive feedback from the protest last Saturday? What are your expectations all in all?
It's difficult to predict, of course. I mean, if trying to look objectively at these protests, I would say that they still lack this necessary drive and thrill to actually become large scale protests like those in Belarus. Simply because kind of the reason for these protests is too narrow. I mean, well, of course, probably to free Alexei Navalny and other political prisoners is a noble aim, and of course it's a good aim to pursue, but it's not something that can kind of unite hundreds of thousands of people. Like, for example, it was in Belarus where people actually kind of had a clear aim, right, to remove Lukashenko or to recast the elections or something like that. Right now in Russia, at least to my mind, it's like the aim of the protests is too vague. But we'll see. I mean, I really wouldn't like to be a predictor of bad things. So, of course, I would like to see in a week that even more people will get out to the streets. That would be great. That would be nice. I will certainly encourage all my friends to go out on the street. But I'm not sure that this will necessarily turn out to be an an ever-escalating protests, which will in turn lead to revolution or something like that. I'm afraid that we will have to fight for much longer time than just this 1 month.
Yeah. It would be very sad if people would not go out anyway. I mean, after this video and all these connections which were shown there. And I just looked at, in 6 days, the video took 87 million of views. I mean, I don't know how many millions more from Saturday, but it's like 10 million a day, or no, more than 10 million a day. It's growing very fast, the amount of views. So, of course, then we know that there are more people who looked and more people who think about going out or not. And but I cannot say right now, at the evening of Monday, how people organized. For me, Saturday and Sunday was mostly the days when you see how many people were on the streets, how many people were arrested, and how to take them out. And this is kind of the always this normality of first couple of days, think about those arrested at this protest. So I cannot really assume the mood about the next weekend right now. But I also hope that there will be more people.
I'm not sure that the number of YouTube views of this video about Putin's palace, that it's actually correlated in any way with the number of people on the street. I mean, yes, it's 80 or 90 million of 80 or 90 million of YouTube views, but as we know, on the streets in Russia were like, well, 40,000, 50,000 people, not more.
40,000 were in Moscow only.
Yeah, well, yeah, 40,000 in Moscow, and then, well, maybe 20 or 30 in the rest of Russia, right? So anyway, not more than 100,000 for certain.
Yeah.
I guess much less, in fact. I would say 50,000 in total. I'm not even sure that there were 40,000 in Moscow. In fact, this was the upper bound, as far as I understand. And it's difficult, actually, to calculate the number of people on the streets, right? It's notoriously difficult to estimate how many people are there. So yeah, of course, not all of these dozens of millions of views on YouTube are directly converted to street fighters, right?
Yeah, and of course, there are already minimum 15 criminal cases opened, which are taking not just 15 people, but more, and this could stop. And of course, the violence from one side could provoke people to go out because they feel injustice, but from another side, they could also fear.
Okay, thanks a lot for your interview. Do you have actually something to add just to the listeners about following up on the news, or just staying tuned to what is happening in Russia?
Yeah, let's all look what's going on next and to see what is circumstances and who needs help, because I believe those who have these criminal cases against them right now, there is no grounds for it, and these are the people who need support. This is one of the important things to do, and right now I cannot really say where people should check up, and but don't look federal channels and Russia Today.
Oh no, everybody loves Russia right. Today, no? All the leftists from West.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, my message to anarchists and left-wing activists from Europe is do not watch Russia Today. If you need any news from Russian anarchists in English, sometimes there are news on the autonom.org website in English, but unfortunately most of the news are in Russian, but Google Translate is your friend. Do not kind of anticipate that we will see some kind of anarchist revolution in Russia any soon. I mean, what we have right now is certainly not not a socialist revolution or anything like that. But the problem is that the regime that we now have in Russia is so reactionary that even the most liberal and bourgeois revolution would probably be better than what we have than what we have now. So yeah, just take this into account when assessing the political situation in Russia, and don't just turn your nose off of Russian activists if they are on the streets with seemingly too liberal slogans like "Get out with Putin" or something like that, because yes, the ground is too low.
Yeah, and it's important to fight Putin not only in Russia, because it's I mean, Russia is influencing a lot in the world, and this is the country with a nuclear weapon. This is the country who is up to start wars wherever they want to start wars, and killing people outside the country who are oppositionary or I don't know what, traitors from their point of view. And it's a big state, and important from political point of view, which is spreading such a crazy, perverse values and calling anti-fascism, which is nothing to do with anti-fascism. Yeah, this is just not only the Russian topic.
And that was it for today. Thanks for listening. You can find the archive of our radio shows on the website of the Anarchist Network Dresden. Elephant in the Room is a proud member of Channel Zero Network, an English-based anarchist radio podcast network run by radical media makers from around the world.
Выбирать, под кем нам жить. Так и давят год от года всем, что выбор не свобода. Сколько ж можно нам еще подставлять под них плечо? Эти выборы подстава. Выбирать имеем право не из штампов и клише, а из идей, что в душе. Восстание, шум, воскресне. Сгинь обреченность и скука. Здесь грянут новые песни, проверкой грядущего звука. И пусть прошлые двери закроются. Революцию не надо ждать, к ней надо готовиться. Наш выбор – свобода. Жить свободы дух, то зачем тебе пастух? Целый мир перед тобой, быть рабом какой отстой. Чтоб остановить режим, надо делать все самим. Будем твердо это знать, никто не сможет помешать. По-другому дальше жить, снова взять и заявить. От лица всего народа выбор наш, свобода. По улицам катится ночь, покалеченная ОМОНом. Но нас не заставят молчать, задохнувшись беззвучным стоном. Диктатура уйдет, время не остановится. Революцию не надо ждать, к ней надо готовиться. We're gonna make it.